Hello, friends, and welcome to a golf podcast unlike any other. This is Fairway Rollin' on the Ringer Podcast Network. I am your starter, Joe House. Every week on Fairway Rollin', it is myself and our PGA Tour correspondent on the ground, Nathan Hubbard, talking all things professional golf, amateur golf, amateur betting, professional betting, amateur drinking, professional drinking, my birdie buddies. If you want to hit them straight out there, please check out Fairway Rollin' every week, available on Spotify.
This episode of the Ringer NFL Show is presented by State Farm. Create an affordable price just for you when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling, just another way to save with the personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower what's next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
It is the Ringer NFL Show, part of the Ringer Podcast Network. I am Kevin Clark, Emergency Edition. You were supposed to, around this time, hear Ben Solak and Danny Kelly talk about the top rookie wide receivers. A little Treylon Burks argument. Instead, Kyler Murray has signed a $230 million five-year deal with the Cardinals that will keep him in Arizona, $160 million guaranteed. Danny Kelly's here to break it down. Danny, what's going on, brother?
What's happening, man? How are you doing?
I'm processing this.
Yeah.
There's so much to unpack with the Cardinals, just as an organization. I don't know where to start. Let's start here. Yeah. Is Kyler Murray worth a mega extension?
I think so, yes. I think there's obviously going to be question marks about his long-term future in the league because he's had some ups and downs as a passer. But at the end of the day, I was just looking at like his numbers over his first 3 years in the NFL, and he's been, mm-hmm. I mean, he's improved gradually every season he's been in the league. Last year, I was actually surprised to see he was third in PFF's passing grade. First in big time throw rate. So he's making big time
plays.
First
in big time throw, yeah. And over the middle of the field, he improved last year, which is important because his height has been, his vision is height. That has been something people have dinged him on. He improved. He's not ever going to be Drew Brees there. He's not ever going to be Peyton Manning, but he improved in that area of the field.
Yeah, exactly. And look, I think there's always going to be limitations, like you said, but the improvement is there. His completion rate has gone up each year. His pass rating has gone up each year. His yards per attempt has gone up each year. And the Cardinals' record, by the way, has improved each year.
Wow.
So it's one of those things where I look at this, I'm saying, like, we could get into the weeds about exactly how much they gave him. I'm not too worried about that because this is what quarterbacks make. I just don't think they can move on from him at this point. Like, they're pot committed. It makes so much sense for them to re-up him and just basically hitch their wagon to him for the long term, because like, what else are they going to do? It just doesn't make any sense for them to move on from him. And I'm actually pretty bullish on Kyler long term. He has some personality quirks, I think, that probably rub people the wrong way. But at the end of the day, like I said, he's improved each year, and you know, I think he's still improving. He's still going to get better, and they're doing a better job, it feels like, of putting some talent around him. So I don't think it's a bad deal at all.
Okay. First of all, you said something there that should be the tagline for the entire Cardinals franchise, which is the phrase, what else were they going to do?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's it. It just feels like that's been their operating mode for the past couple of years. When you say personality quirks, do you mean he's a gamer?
No, I just mean, like, I think, you know, based on the interviews I've seen, that some of the, like, the scrubbing of his socials and all that. I know a lot of athletes do that these days, but I just think, you know, obviously he's not sort of the standard, what I think a lot of teams would want a quarterback to be, like gregarious in interviews and things like that. He sort of just doesn't really talk a whole lot kind of deal in the interviews that I've seen. So maybe that's the deal. But again, like you said, they had to do it. Like, they had no other choice, I really feel like.
I have a couple things on that. Number one is that I was thinking about this, and I was going to say that this was a particularly ugly situation, and it wasn't ugly at all. Like, Kyler Murray took off Cardinals from his Instagram, and then Eric Burkhardt, their agent, released a statement, like, in February. Like, yeah. That was it. Like, it got, maybe it felt ugly, but, like, if this is the ugliest NFL contract negotiations can get, then NFL teams are doing pretty well with their franchise quarterbacks.
Yeah, yeah.
The personality thing, I kind of think we're in year, like, 10 of people. We see a franchise quarterback and we say, well, he doesn't really have the personality for it.
Right.
I don't think that this generation of quarterbacks, this isn't 1985 anymore. I think that there's a lot more low-key quarterbacks who, I would almost say, like, I was going to say lead by example, but they don't even have to do that. Like, I don't think you need...
Right.
You can find the rah-rah guys in other parts of the field to run the locker room and all that stuff. I don't think you need that sort of command the room leader of men. I don't think there's a lot of franchise quarterbacks who do that. I mean, listen, everybody loves Joe Burrow and Matthew Stafford, the two quarterbacks who won the Super Bowl last year. Neither of those guys are anything other than kind of chill bros. So yeah. That personality thing to me has gotten overrated to the point that I think most of it is junk science. I think the bigger thing when you're talking about scouting quarterback personalities is work ethic, which I don't think has been questioned in any of the people that we just named over the course of their career.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the Cardinals offense. So this team regressed over the course of the season.
Yes.
It was real bad. It was real bad at the end. And the playoff game was a complete disaster. And I think that people started to question the long-term viability of everything that was going on there. Not just Kyler, but Cliff, who got an extension, Keim, who got an extension. Like, what direction is this flowing in?
Yeah.
Give me, first of all, the best case for this Cardinals offense this year.
So the best case is they don't regress terribly down the second half of the year, because that's happened, I think, every year that Cliff has been
the
coach.
The best case is they don't do what they do all the time.
Be consistent. They need to be consistent.
Yeah.
So I think, look, their injuries are always a factor. So you can obviously point to some of the injuries they sustained that contributed to their regression down the stretch. I also could say, you know, the Rams did end up winning the Super Bowl, so that was clearly a very good team. So you can't really, look too much into their performance in the playoffs. But yeah, I think number one, they need to be more consistent throughout the year, start to finish. I do think the addition of Marquise Brown will help them. You know, I think that the offense that they want to run, they need more explosive plays. I think they need a little bit more oomph in their passing game. And in terms of like the talent at receiver, you know, I do think he is an upgrade over Christian Kirk. So I think that there's some room for optimism there. Maybe get more out of Rondale Moore in year two, things like that. There's some good things that they can do to improve down the stretch. And then getting, you know, obviously DeAndre Hopkins back after 6 weeks suspension, maybe he can be a little more fresh down the stretch or whatever. I don't know. Like, I don't know how exactly they're going to do it, but they just need to be better in the second half.
But I don't. But what happened? Like, I think we're all looking at it and saying, and you watch a hell of a lot more film than I do. I think we're all looking at it and saying, like, why is this a tailspin? And I could never really get a read on it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably something where you point to Cliff's play calling, getting a little bit stale, a little bit predictable.
Wow.
You know, again, I think the injury situations always seem to matter. Kyler has faded down the stretch in each of his three seasons. I don't know if that's, you know, teams figuring him out or what.
Could it be just his frame and just getting banged up?
Yeah, I mean, he does seem to get sort of banged up each year. And so, again, that's like why I think he wanted to run less. He's probably going to want to run even less this year, be more of a just drop back passer, take fewer hits, things like that. But I don't know. I'm sure searching for this answer of what they can do to not have this like collapse in the second half. But I think that is, again, it's the crucial thing for them. It's the key for, you know, continuing to build. And I think, again, like if you look, it's funny because on a macro level, they have improved each year. But when you look at each season, they start hot and then fade down the stretch. They need to get out of that pattern, I think, to really take a next jump here.
It's really incredible because Cliff, every step, every season that he's been a head coach, even go back to college, has faded down the stretch. And you just wonder, and this is a completely separate situation, But like McVay had that where his EPA per play just plummeted in the second half. And I don't know. I think at some point you just need to have, you just need to shake it up a little bit in the second half. I don't know. I don't know what that looks like. Maybe it's predictable. I think one thing about Kliff is what disappointed me is that if you remember when he first came into Arizona, I think we all had pretty low expectations for him. It was a strange hire. Mm-hmm. He had just been fired from a college job. He was going to take the OC job at USC. And he becomes a head coach in Arizona with the first overall pick. And you just think this is a really weird place for a guy like that to be inserted, where I think a lot of people would have taken that job. Okay. And part of it was, I think that from what I understand, they didn't like that having a defensive coach the year before. They wanted a quarterback guru. Well, there were a bunch of other quarterback gurus. It's not like Kliff was the one guy.
the only guy.
Was a quarterback. Yeah, the only quarterback guy. There were a lot of them. And so he comes in with low expectations. And then the expectations change because he actually adapted in a way I thought was pretty impressive. The way he used the wide receivers, the way he spread the ball out, his run concepts. I actually liked what he did over the first half of his first year. And so my expectations recalibrated, but there hasn't been anything beyond that. Like nothing Kliff has done since being not terrible has impressed me.
So yeah, I mean, what you were referencing, I think, is they started out, Kliff came in, he wanted to run this 4-5 wide, like air raid thing. He realized he didn't really have the guys to do it, and he adapted. He started running more 3 receiver sets, 2 receiver sets, things like that. More, I guess, just traditional NFL offenses. And he showed his ability to adapt. He showed, I think he proved that he's willing to change on the fly if something isn't working. But like you were also saying, he hasn't really taken the next step and like really turned this team around, turned this offense around, turned it into a juggernaut. I am kind of intrigued though. The one thing that always stands out to me is last year, like DeAndre Hopkins is just like lining up in the same spot every play and running the same routes every play. Like I would love to see them get a little more creative. You know, I think it's interesting that they re-signed Zach Ertz and then drafted a tight end in the second round. Maybe that means that they're going to do more, lean even further into like 2 tight end sets. Maybe that will help them get their run game going a little bit more. They've had pretty like efficient run games, and I do like James Conner. But maybe they want to be a little bit more balanced. I don't know. I do think, though, like to your point, the big picture is they need to become, I think, more like adaptable and more creative, because that is probably why they faded down the stretch every season. It's like teams kind of start to figure out what they do and they become less efficient. And the things that they're doing early in the year just don't work as much anymore. So I would just like to see them become a little more creative, move guys around a little bit more, maybe more, you know, frequency with like 2 tight end sets, things like that. Cause, you know, that could be the key for them unlocking things in the second half.
This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. The less your business spends, the more margin of money you have. I think that's pretty obvious for everyone, but actually doing it, that's easier said than done, because the cost of everything is going up these days. So do the smart thing. Switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth, so you can easily reduce costs and headaches. NetSuite specifically helps by reducing IT costs, since it lives in the cloud with no hardware required, and cutting the costs of maintaining multiple systems, since everything you need is on one suite. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See for yourself how effective NetSuite can be and try it out today. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That is netsuite.com/ringer. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use, with scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Joe Burrow is going to be the next quarterback who gets a mega contract at some point. 230 is the total value of Deshaun Watson's deal. Difference being Deshaun Watson was completely guaranteed because somehow
right.
within a day of not being charged by the grand jury, he became the player with the most leverage in the history of football. That was quite a swing. How does this change the way quarterbacks are paid? Because you alluded to this earlier, Danny, but this is the cost of doing business. Like, I'm more offended at the extensions for Cliff and Keim than I am at giving
right.
Kyler Murray $160 million. I'd say that, so $46 million which is what Kyler's getting. That puts him with Mahomes and Watson. The Mahomes deal being completely different because it's 10 years. It was signed. It was supposed to be team friendly. He's going to get $500 million out of the deal. He's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. The Watson thing already in a separate bucket. Aaron Rodgers, $50 million. One of the best quarterbacks in the history of the game. Still in his prime. I get it. So we got to wonder. I feel like the Joe Burrow number 48, 49. And we got to wonder how long it's going to take the Bengals to get there and realize this. Because for me, I think that there's a reason I haven't moved off of this analogy. It's like real estate over across the bridge here in Manhattan, where in 2010, I was hearing these numbers and I was going, there's no way.
right.
There's no way a condo costs that much. And then, I should have just bought it. Yeah. I should have handed over.
Yeah.
I should have just emptied out my accounts to over leverage myself to get it, because it would have been a bargain, relatively speaking. And, I go back to something I've shared the story before, but when Matt Ryan became the first $30 million quarterback, I was with Dimitroff in his office, like 3 days later. And I said, I think it might be a bargain in like 2 years. And he joked and he was like, how long did you say? And I was like, oh, like it might be a bargain like tomorrow. And he's that's it. That's more like it. And so any quarterback deal, as long as the guy is a true franchise quarterback, you think of someone like Dak Prescott who got locked in for 40. Russell Wilson's still at 35 average year, but that will be redone with Denver at some point. Our guy Kirk Cousins is getting after it with 35.
Always
getting after it. So what does this do to the future quarterback pay, Danny Kelly?
Yeah. I mean, it's just going to keep going up, right? And I think, obviously, the cap is going to go up, too. And so you really want to look at percentage of the cap that these quarterbacks are making. I think the first thing that I thought of that was interesting was that he didn't get a fully guaranteed deal. There was, I think, some fear when Deshaun Watson got his deal that this was going to be the new paradigm for how contracts are done for quarterbacks and it would change everything and all that. And this is clearly not happening. Like, I think that's probably, something that all the ownership, all the teams want to not be the case. And so I think that's an important thing. And then the other thing, of course, is even before Burrow, we got to figure out what's going on with Lamar too. Lamar Jackson is still negotiating his deal maybe not negotiating it. It sounds like there hasn't been a lot of movement yet. So I'm going to be very interested to see what he gets too. From Lamar to Burrow to, eventually these other younger guys, it's just going to continue to go up.
Go ahead.
I don't even bat an eye at it. It's exactly what you said, where it used to be a bigger deal when you see some of these contracts and you're like, holy crap, that's crazy. Like, how could they do that? But then like the next week, someone gets an even higher one. A few months later, someone gets an even higher one. And then all of a sudden, like 2 years down the road, all these other deals look like bargains. So I'm just not even batting an eye at that, really.
Well, I would also say that there was a year there where I think it was the 2016-2017 era where all these guys were going back and forth with the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, and they were way worse than the guys now who are the highest paid. Like, I'd rather have Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen, these guys, be at the top. Like, Derek Carr was the highest paid quarterback and highest paid player in the NFL in 2017 for a couple weeks, if I'm not mistaken. I think Stafford passed him after that, or maybe that
for
was reversed.
For a couple weeks. I love that.
The reason I didn't bring up Lamar is because, first of all, I think that that's a separate category to me. Mm. Because it looks like he's going to play the franchise tag game. I don't know. It just seems like they haven't been engaging. Maybe it all gets done very quickly. But it feels like Lamar wants to see how close he can get to the free market, which we've seen Kirk Cousins, which was a separate category. He was so offended by Washington, and then Washington bungled it. And then, we don't need to relitigate what Washington did with Kirk Cousins. and then he goes, Kirk has two choices, the Jets and the Vikings, and he ends up taking the Vikings. And when I talked to Rick Spielman about it a couple of days after it happened, he said, listen, we had to guarantee that money because somebody else would. That's what happens when a quarterback goes in the free market. If Lamar got to the free market, what are we looking at?
Yeah.
60 a year?
I mean,
keeping in mind, they can tag him three times.
Right. So this is like, it's going to be so long and drawn out. I think the balance a lot of these quarterbacks are going to want to make it. And like, maybe Lamar just has the nerve to like not care and just ride it out. But like, they want the security, the long-term security, the guarantees, you know, especially for a guy like Lamar who runs so much, like, that's going to be the team's leverage is like, we're going to be able to, you know, give you this long-term security and long-term money. So if you do get hurt, you're still going to be, you know, a very rich person. So, I think that that's going to be the thing to see. And maybe you're right. Like maybe this will just play out over a few years. It's going to be very interesting to see. So, but you know, at the end of the day, I do think like all these quarterbacks are worth the money. Like, you know, they're so, so important to the success of a team that I think teams have no choice and they're right to pay these guys this amount of money.
Expectations for the 2022 Cardinals.
I actually think that they're going to be a playoff contender. You know, I think a lot of teams are maybe saying it's going to be the 49ers and the
Rams.
Well,
they did make the playoffs last year.
True.
I'd hope they're a playoff contender.
I'll be totally honest with you. When I was kind of like prepping for this pod, looking at some of the like recent numbers with Kyler and with the team overall, I'm like, I don't really understand exactly why everyone's so low on the Cardinals. I do think it is sort of the way that they faded over the last few seasons. And I get that. And that makes a lot of sense. But the trajectory for this team overall has been pretty solid, honestly. They've been getting better. And I think that in some ways they got better for next year. I think that there's definitely question marks, you know, on maybe like their offensive line and things like that could be an Achilles heel for them. But, you know, I think that they're going to be a pretty good team. And I think that this division, this NFC West division, is very, very good. So, you know, I do think the one thing that you mentioned at the very beginning is like the decision to retain Keim and Kingsbury long term, which happened before this, was to me the more interesting thing than like what is the natural progression here with Kyler, which they needed to re-sign him. I think deciding to roll with these two guys, the GM and the coach, for the long term, I think is like, you know, obviously that's in the past, it's happened, but to me that was an interesting decision. And I think it was more just like they didn't want to try and change everything again. Like they just wanted some continuity for the sake of continuity.
Well, they re-signed those guys at the combine, and I will tell you that that bewildered much of the league, I would say, to re-sign those two guys when they're trying to get their quarterback under contract. And the theory I heard on the statement that Kyler and his team released was that they were trying to create urgency because they didn't want somebody from another team told me that this is sort of how these things go, is that they didn't want Kyler to be the last person to sign because then the team can say, well, we only have this much money. You want the quarterback to be the first person to sign in those wave of extensions for a team, because then afterwards they'll say, well, we signed this left tackle, we signed this linebacker. Don't you want to help the team? Why don't you take $10 million less? And they're like, nah, decided not to do that. And that's when it gets really ugly. We didn't get to that spot. Obviously, everybody's happy, all that. I think this ended as well as it could have for Kyler. He gets paid. He gets to prove himself. Cliff keeps his job, which apparently is the most important thing to the Arizona infrastructure, is that Keim and Cliff get to continue there. I don't think that this is some huge shock to anybody.
Yeah. I mean, the alternative is they just blow everything up and then maybe Kyler's like, you know, I don't want to come back. And then they really have to start from zero. That would have been alternative. That would have been the alternative to extending Keim, to extending Cliff, extending Kyler, is they decide this isn't working out. We're going to start from scratch. We're going to have to get a new GM. We're going to have to get a new coach. you know, because I don't know if they're going to give Keim another opportunity to hire a new coach and you know, potentially draft another quarterback if Kyler ends up leaving, if the relationship sours. So, yeah, I really look at this as like they just chose continuity over the actual individual people involved, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. That's what they did. They just said, oh, this guy's here. That sounds good to me.
Let's just roll it again.
Yep. All right. Well, anything else in this? NFC West? Now that the Seahawks aren't competing anymore?
Yeah, the Seahawks, I mean, man, this in particular, like the Seahawks are just the most boring team now in the NFC West. Like the NFC West has been good for a long time.
I don't agree with that. I cannot wait to see this quarterback competition.
Yeah, but not for like a reason like it's actually exciting. It's more like you're morbidly fascinated with what will happen kind of deal, maybe.
Can you go to camp? Can we get you out there?
To cover the most depressing quarterback competition of all time.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, let's do it. Are you picking a winner right now? I didn't listen to the pod you guys did the other day yet. Did you declare a early winner yet for that competition?
No.
Where do you lean?
I think it's going to be Geno Smith. He knows the system.
I do too. The guy who's like the most allergic to turnovers in the world in Pete Carroll. Do we really think Drew Locke is going to be the starter?
I'm done. You're more of a Seahawksologist than I am.
Yeah, I don't know. I lean
every
Gino
time.
Right
every
now.
Time I text you and mean about the Seahawks, I get the feeling that I've made your day much worse. Like yeah, I feel, you know what I'm saying? Like
bringing it up. Stop guys, bringing it up.
Yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah. Where I'm just like, oh, every time those you guys send me text back, so I'm like, oh, this actually is not nearly as fun as I thought it was going to be. Anything else, we have a great time. But if I'm just like, if someone tweets something about the quarterback conversation, I throw it towards you guys. I'm like, oh, this really brought the mood down. Talking about the thing you guys like more than anything in the world.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We'll be back. When's your next week? You want to give us?
I believe
10
so.
Seconds
yes.
On, you want to give us 10 seconds on Treylon Burks?
Yeah, Treylon Burks, highest variance receiver in this draft class. Cannot wait to see this whole thing play out. Does he have asthma? Is he just out of shape? Is he going to be awesome? Is he going to be terrible? I don't know, but it's going to be really fun to watch.
Just questions we all face in our daily lives. Are we just out of shape, or are we going to be awesome? Or both. In my case, certainly. All right. Danny Kelly, see you later, buddy. This has been the Ringer NFL Show on the Ringer Podcast Network. Thank you to Spine Anderson with additional production supervision by Arjuna Ramblin.